Well, good afternoon to all, and thank you for joining with us this afternoon on what's been really so nice a weekend weather-wise. You can probably tell from my face, as we would say here in Scotland, it's scalping. Forgot my sun cream. But thank you for coming and being with us here at Albert Hall for the preaching of the gospel. And really what's been on my heart over the past couple of weeks is just really a couple of verses found in the scriptures, in particular in the book of Isaiah and chapter 59. Now, as we go through, just with the short time that we have this afternoon, there will be plenty of other scripture references. I make no apology for that, because the Bible is indeed the Word of God, and the Bible is full of truth. And really, it's God's message which I'm bringing to you this afternoon. I don't want you to hear anything of me this afternoon. I want you to hear the gospel being preached, and I want you to hear what the Lord has to say to you this afternoon regarding your position before a holy God and regarding a Savior who gave his life that you can be saved this afternoon. And so we've had fun here in doing the quiz and singing hymns, but now I want you to listen to what God has to say. I want to get serious now as we preach the message of the gospel. Really a message which is a message of life and death. And in Isaiah and chapter 59, which is what really I would like to consider this afternoon, we read there in verse 2, and it says this: "But your iniquities, that's personal to you this afternoon. God is speaking to you this afternoon regarding your iniquities. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I wonder this afternoon, as we've heard it from the Word of God, personal to you, your iniquities, your sin, has separated you from God, has taken you out of relationship with him, and set you at an immeasurable distance from him. I wonder this afternoon, as you hear that being said, what's the response of your heart? Perhaps this afternoon you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, "Well, I'm not a sinner. I have no iniquities, no sin in my life. I'm a good person." Well, this afternoon, the message of the gospel really is a message of good news. It's a message of good news concerning the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order to understand the good news, it's said that first of all, we need to understand there's bad news. And the bad news this afternoon for you, in the very seat that you sit in, is that if you are without Christ this afternoon, if you've not had your sins dealt with, then you're at a distance from God. Then you're separated from God. That you're out of God's favor. You know, this afternoon, the scriptures tells us, as we've read, that your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear. He will not hear. While you're in your sins, and while you're living a life that's full of sin and separate from God, he will not hear your cry, the Bible says. You see, there has to be repentance. You see, there has to be acknowledgement on your part this afternoon that you have sinned against a holy and a just and a righteous God. A God who cannot bear sin. A God who cannot even be in the very presence of sin. That's the reason that you're separate from him, because of your sin. That's the reason that the relationship which existed back at the creation of this universe, back in the Garden of Eden, when there was perfect harmony between God and mankind, between God and Adam and Eve. It was broken. It was fractured because of sin. And ever since then, the Bible tells us that we are born in sin. Every single person that comes into this world is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You know, I've got a wee daughter. She's 8 months old. And you don't have to go far to see rebellion. She's not at the stage yet where she can turn round and say no. I'm dreading that day, but she's not at that stage yet. But you see the outworkings of the scripture in new life as babies are born and they grow up and they begin to say no and they begin to disobey their parents. You see the marks of sin. And the Bible tells us in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin separates from God. You know, dear friend, I wouldn't be doing my job this afternoon preaching the gospel if I wasn't to tell you that, yes, sin separates us from God here and now. But worse than that, dear friend, if you don't get right before Him, if you don't have your sins dealt with, if you don't come to Christ and repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Him, then, dear friend, it's not only separation from God just now, but separation from God for all eternity. You see, there's a verse in the scriptures, and we find it in 2 Thessalonians and in chapter 1 of that book of 2 Thessalonians. If I can find it. Chapter 1, and it says there in verse 7, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking from heaven, with His mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And listen to this. Not only them that know not God, not only them that are separate from God, but those that obey not the message of the gospel. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say then regarding them who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? You know, Revelation and chapter 20 would also speak of those who are not to be found in Christ, would also speak of those who have not had their sins forgiven. And there it would say, regarding those who are separate from God, regarding those who are sinners, regarding those who have never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it says of them, that on that day that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, dear friend, in the meeting this afternoon, that's the bad news that you have to grapple with. That's the bad news that you have to get to grips with this afternoon. That you're born in sin. That in your very nature, you've disobeyed God. You've disobeyed His law. You continue to live a life of sin. You continue to live a life that's in separation to God. And really, this verse that I've spoken about this afternoon, regarding yourselves and regarding myself, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. You know, really, that verse would speak to me about the inability of man to get right with God. All we can bring to God really is our sin. You see, the Bible tells us that even if we try and live a good life, and perhaps you do, I don't know everyone here this afternoon, but perhaps you do live a relatively good life, and you do good deeds, you come to church and maybe you give to charity, and all of those things in and of themselves are not wrong, but they're not enough to get you right with God. You see, God's standard is what we fall short of. That's what the Bible tells us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whatever way you look at that standard, whether it be the law of God, we fall short of it. Or whether it be the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who the Bible tells us knew no sin and did no sin, the one who the Bible would tell of his perfection. That perfection that made it possible for him to go to the cross and die a death for sinners. No one else could do it because no one else is perfect. No one else could please God in the way that Christ did. And so we fall short of the glory and the standard of God. And we are unable in and of ourselves to be reconciled to God. We can't do it in our own strength. We need a Savior. We need someone who can bridge the gap between us and God. Praise the Lord this afternoon. There is one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross at Calvary and shed his precious blood for you and for me, that we might be saved this afternoon. I wonder, have you come into the good of that salvation? Have you had your sins forgiven? Have you repented of your sin? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in his public ministry, really, the first words to come out of his mouth, by and large, was this: repent and believe the gospel. What's repentance? What does it mean? Well, it means this. We thought already about a life of sin, a life in which we cannot bring pleasure to God, a life in which we're separate from God, a life in really which is taking us to hell and ultimately the lake of fire. But the wonderful news of the gospel is that we don't have to go there. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to live for all of eternity separate from God, separate from the Lord. In the blackness of darkness the Bible would speak of, where there is much torment and gnashing of teeth, for all eternity, dear friend. Not for a lifetime, for all eternity. Wonder this afternoon, are you right with God? Or are you still in your sins? Are you still in your sins? You see, that's the bad news. That we're sinners. That we're incapable of ourselves, of our own strength, of our own volition, of our own desires to get right with God, that we cannot do it. There's so many people in this world out there, and other so-called religions, bound by good works, bound by living a life trying to achieve getting to heaven or paradise or whatever it is that their religion tells them they'll get to. They'll not get there, dear friend, unless they've got Christ as their Savior. The Bible says, for there is one mediator, there is one middleman, if you like, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is no other this afternoon. You know, it's a joy this afternoon as I preach the gospel. I heard this the other day, and I thought it was a lovely thought. And the man said that there's roughly about 6,000 religions in this world. But praise God, there's but one empty tomb. One empty tomb. And so you see this afternoon, how is it that I get saved then? What has to be done? If I can't do it myself, if you've spoke to me about mankind's inability, well, dear friend, the verse before in Isaiah 59 would not so much speak of man's inability now, but it would speak of the ability of Christ. The ability of Christ. What would we read in Isaiah 59 and verse 1? Well, it says there, behold. That simply means, this afternoon, be amazed. Look at this. Look at this wonderful truth. Behold, dear friend, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. What a tremendous truth that is for us to hear this afternoon. That though we are sinners, and though we cannot bring about our own salvation, and we are incapable of bridging the gap and getting right with God, that we read this verse, behold, the arm of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save. You know, dear friend, as I've said, I'm looking out to faces that I don't know this afternoon. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know what you've done in life. And to be perfectly honest with you, to put it bluntly, I don't care. What I care for is your soul this afternoon. What I care for is that you come to know Christ as your own personal Saviour. But you know, there's one that cares for your soul far greater than I ever could. Far greater than any believer here in Albert Hall ever could. The Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. There is not a single person born into this world that's outwith the scope of the gospel. There's not a single person born into time that's outwith the saving power of Christ. That's the wonder of the gospel this afternoon. That although there's plenty of lack with man, although there's plenty of inability with man, there's no lack on the part of Christ. There's no lack in the part of Christ. You see, it says here that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. I think of one in Psalm in chapter 40. Let me read it to you. The psalmist really would speak here about the experience of salvation in his life. And what would he say? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. And what? He heard my cry. You see, the Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear this afternoon. And if you are to repent of your sin, and that means to turn away from it, to realize that the life that you've been living before God is in rebellion to him, is wrong, is sinful, and the things that you've done in the past and the things that you continue to do are sinful. If you repent of your sin and ask God to forgive you, the Bible tells us his ear is not heavy that it will not hear. He will hear your cry of repentance. And he will hear your cry as you put your faith and trust in Christ. What does the psalmist say? He heard my cry, and what? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, out of the sinfulness of this world, and out of the sinfulness of this life. All the horrible pits that we've been in because of sin. The psalmist says he cried unto the Lord, and he heard his cry, and he brought him out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and what? He set his feet upon a rock, and he established his goings, and he put a new song in his mouth, even praise to our God. You know, dear friend, that's been the experience of my life. You see, it seems a pretty simple message. Well, I'm a simple guy. And the gospel, in its essence, is very simple. As a boy of 7, I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that I'd sinned against God and was on my way to hell forever. But better than that, I realized that there was a Savior who died for me on the cross at Calvary. You see, the Bible would tell us that the wages of sin is death. Death is what we deserve because of our sin. Nobody can say you don't deserve it because you do. You know, there was one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible would tell us this concerning him. That he who knew no sin, we thought about it earlier, he was a spotless, perfect Son of God. The one who John the Baptist could point to and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." That Lamb which the Bible would speak about was without spot and blemish, a perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And what would John say in that day? "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." Because the Bible tells us that the good news of the gospel this afternoon is that he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a wonderful truth is that? That there was a perfect, spotless Lamb of God. That blessed man of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was completely and utterly sinless and spotless and perfect. And there was us on the other side, full of sin and guilt and wretchedness. And what took place? Christ went to Calvary. And there in those hours of darkness, as he was forsaken by God, his Father, and the whole of the earth was plunged into darkness, there the judgment of God that should have fallen upon you and I fell upon the precious head of Christ. The scriptures would tell us that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. What a wonderful truth is that this afternoon. The just for the unjust. Why? Because he loves us. And greater than that, that he might bring us to God. You know, the scriptures tells us also. In fact, it doesn't even just tell us, it challenges us. Be ye reconciled to God. How can you be reconciled to God? Well, not in your own ability, but through the ability of Christ. Through that work, a finished work, a work in which the Lord Jesus Christ could have cried from the cross, "It is finished," and tetelestai, the word meaning paid in full, finished, paid in full. I wonder this afternoon, will you come to Christ? Have your sins forgiven? First, you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You need to acknowledge that you've done wrong before God. And you need to put your faith and trust in a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, that you can have your sins forgiven, that you can be reconciled to God, that you can have eternity, a home in heaven. Not because of what we've done, not because of what I've done, but all because of what he done on the cross at Calvary. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Behold, the arm of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that it will not
here.
I wonder this afternoon, will you come in repentance of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you realize in simplicity and through the eye of faith that there was a perfect man who gave his life for you on the cross at Calvary and shed his precious blood that you might have your sins forgiven, that you might be reconciled to God, that you might be saved this very afternoon? You know, one of probably the shortest prayers in the Bible, I think it's found in Luke chapter 18, and it was simply a tax collector who came and he realized his sinfulness and he realized his hopelessness and he couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. The scriptures say, but what does it say that he cried out? He said, "Have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And it tells him that he was saved. You know, dear friend, if you repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon, even where you sit in your very seat, you can be saved. You know, there's a wonderful hymn. I'll just close by quoting it. We often sing it at Linwood. I don't know if you've sung it here, but the words are lovely. And this is what it says concerning the Lord Jesus and the salvation that he offers and how it's personal to you and it's personal to me. And it says this, that they nailed my Lord upon a tree and left him dying there. Through love, he suffered there for me. 'Twas love beyond compare. Crucified, crucified and nailed upon a tree with bleeding hands and feet and side for you, for me. I wonder this afternoon, will you appropriate that to yourself? Will you come to Christ just as you are and repent of your sin and acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need a Saviour and that there's one that died on the cross at Calvary for you? Will you come into the good of having your sins forgiven this afternoon? Just remember, dear friend, we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know when our time will be up, when we're ushered into eternity. But this much we are sure of, that the arm of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. Trust that you'll be saved this afternoon. Let's pray. God and Father, we do come before you in the precious name of our blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do give you thanks for those verses that we've considered from the scriptures this afternoon. We do give you thanks that we are told in the scriptures that our iniquities have separated us from our God and our sins have hid his face from us. But our Father, we give you thanks that even though our sin and our wretchedness and our disobedience has separated us from a holy God, we give you thanks for that which we've thought about this afternoon, about that arm of the Lord, which is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not quiet that it cannot hear. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. And we give you thanks that there is the ability on the part of Christ that all might be saved. We give you thanks for the tremendous work that took place on the cross at Calvary. That if we are to repent of our sin and come to Christ and acknowledge that he died for us and acknowledge that he took our place and he took the punishment that we deserve, that we this afternoon might be saved. Lord, Father, we do just pray that there might be those in their seat right now that would cry out to the Lord. We give you thanks that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, our Father, we do just pray for the preaching of the gospel, that there might be souls saved today, not only here in Albert Hall, but wherever the gospel is preached, wherever Christ is lifted up as the only Saviour of sinners, that there might be those that would turn to him and put their faith and trust in him and be reconciled to God. And so, our Father, these are our prayers. We do just pray again that there might be nobody that would leave this hall without having accepted Christ as their Saviour and have their sins forgiven. And so, our Father, we give you thanks again for your goodness towards us as we pray these things, asking your blessing upon this meeting. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.